We've had a lot to think about today, and I'm going to add a little bit more to that. I trust you're able to reflect during this coming week back on the things that have been shared and see if you can gain even more good from what has been said already. We're going to be reading from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Before we do that, let's pray together, and then we'll read through those verses. Father God, you do speak to us, and you speak in a way that we can hear. You are certainly worthy of our love, our adoration, our praise, our obedience. You are worthy of our all. Father, it is my desire that you would speak to us today from this portion of James, that you would speak in a way that we indeed hear, but also understand how to apply. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. James chapter 3, starting at verse 1, I'll read through verse 12. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree produce olives? Or can a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. At the beginning today, I want to reinforce a truth that I tried to make clear last Sunday. Though this portion of James is all about the tongue does not stand alone as if it were either a horrible evil or a marvelous good all on its own. Your tongue and my tongue directly reflects and therefore reveals what is in our heart. And let me just say this three more ways, a little bit different each time, because this is an important reality. As a tree naturally brings forth fruit after its kind, so the heart naturally brings forth words after its kind. At times, our words are carefully chosen, and at times they're carelessly spoken. But at all times, They are according to what is in our heart. And finally, from Christ himself, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Matthew 12:34-35. Well, because our words directly reflect what we are within, we're wise to listen carefully when others are talking. You know, like put your hand by your ear and really listen when other people are talking. Because in time, they will reveal the hidden realities of their heart. And when it comes to comforting each other in times of sorrow, or encouraging each other in times of discouragement, or spurring each other on to godliness, love, and good deeds, we can accomplish far more with each other if we have at least some understanding of what is in each other's heart. And to have that understanding, you have to listen. And listen longer. So, I want to urge you, listen to each other. Listen carefully to what each other is saying. Because that's a significant way to discern what is within the other person. Now, just as important as listening to each other is listening to yourself. It is probably more common for us to be eager about listening to others, but I would urge us to be just as zealous about listening to ourselves. Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Give real consideration to the words you speak, the settings in which you speak them, and how you say them. Because that's a way to discover what is in your heart. And of course, if you're going to listen in a way that helps you discover and then deal with what's in your heart, you must believe that your words actually reveal what is in your heart. You have to believe that. Now, God says it, and we have every reason to believe it, but we're not always prone to buy into that truth. And so, doing things like living in denial or thinking that your intentions are a truer test of what you are within is not the way to help yourself discover what's really inside. Listen to what you say. As the words are going out, listen to them. Listen to how you're saying them, who you're saying them to, what's going on as you're saying them. One other suggestion along this, if you need help in using what comes out of your mouth to discern what is in your heart, I have two suggestions. One, ask God. Ask God to show you what your words say about you. And the other suggestion is ask the people around you to help you see what your words reveal about you. So those would be two good sources for help outside of yourself in listening to yourself. Now, as I read through this portion of James, I'm sure it's apparent to you, because it certainly is apparent to me, that God says some pretty harsh things about the tongue. And that could make us wonder if there's any hope. I mean, can we ever gain victory over our tongue? The answer to that question is definitely a yes. Yes, we can gain victory. But it takes some serious work, some diligence, perseverance, honesty. If you want to turn with me, let's consider these words from Ephesians. These are the words of Paul to the church at Ephesus. And they're in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 5:2. So So I want to start reading at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and I'll go through chapter 5, verse 2. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. I want to point out that Paul begins this section, this statement, with the word let. And the word let means allow. In other words, he's clearly indicating that we Christians have the ability and, let me add, the empowerment from God, without question, to overcome what resides in our hearts so that we manage our tongue appropriately. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. That means if you can manage your tongue, you can manage what's going on in your heart. We are not slaves. We are, because Christ has broken the power of sin and set us free, we are free people, and we are able to make this right choice. One of the things that helped me with this idea way back when I was just becoming a serious-minded Christian, I was listening to a set of sermons by a fellow who was a missionary in the West Indies, and he was talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And he, in this set of sermons, spoke about how the Hebrew word for Lord means a master who tells you what to do and provides you with everything necessary to do it. All that's left is for you to carry out the instructions. And that picture has been with me all these years. God definitely is saying, here's what to do, but he gives us everything necessary to do it. All that's left is for us to do what he says. It can be done. All right, continuing on. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Again, the fact that Paul says, do not, in this verse, means that we have the power to choose whether we will either grieve or please the Holy Spirit. And since God enables us to both make the right choice and remain faithful to the right choice, we have the ability, we can please the Holy Spirit with what is in our heart, and therefore with what comes out of our mouth. Going further, Paul writes, let all bitterness, notice it starts again with the word let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Put it out. Along with all malice, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now you may be wondering, what does that have to do with our mouth? Well, I can tell you that if you have the negative things in your heart, it will affect your mouth in a very negative way. And if you have those godly things in your heart, it will affect your mouth in a very godly way. So these things have a lot to do with what comes out of our mouth. It's pretty hard to be bitter and resentful and even wanting to get even with others and say the right things to them. And it's pretty hard to be kind and forgiving and say the wrong things. All right, then he goes on to say, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. All right, Paul is talking to us about our speech, and yet he talks about what's in our heart, both the things that shouldn't be there and the things that should be. He's talking about putting off and putting on. He's talking about imitating God. He's talking about the things that are inside, because that does indeed influence what comes out of our mouth. So, though we're going to continue on in James here and examine all the bad things it says about the tongue, I do want to assure you today that it is possible to grow and change in such a way that we have a tongue that not only accurately reflects what is in our heart, but reflects the godliness that is in our heart. All right, back to James. James chapter 3, verse 2. James says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." And the point here is pretty simple. If you can control your tongue, which requires purifying what is in your heart, you'll be perfect or completely godly from the inside out. And why would this be true? Because if you will purify your heart, then you will be able, by God's grace, to gain victory over your thoughts, over your emotions, your feelings, your passions, your urges, your fears, your pride, such things as your selfishness and any other parts of your being that wage war against the spiritual health and purity of your heart and therefore your tongue. And if you can wage war against all those and find victory through God, you can control your tongue. Now there's a however here, because we are human beings. Purifying your heart so as to gain control over your tongue is no small endeavor. And it requires far more than learning good communication techniques. So to help you get a better sense of what I just said, that it is a serious endeavor, and it does require far more than learning good communication techniques. And by the way, we should learn good communication techniques. But that doesn't fix or necessarily alter or change what is in our heart. So to help us to get a better understanding of that, I'd like you just to listen to this list of things that come out of our mouth. And as you listen to this list, forget what's in your own heart for the moment. Just consider what would be in somebody else's heart who would say these kinds of things. And then when we're all done, you can go back and look at yourself. But it might help you if you just think of somebody else as I read this list. All right, gossip, slander, backbiting. And backbiting is attacking the character or reputation of somebody who is not there, not in your presence. Abusive speech, threats, clamor. Clamor is angry quarreling. Belittling, put downs, fault finding, unkind criticism, harsh words. Intentionally hurtful sarcasm, cynicism, insensitivity. In other words, saying things that we shouldn't say at the wrong time to the wrong person. Telling the truth in a way that seeks to hurt or to force others to change according to our wishes. Boasting, which is simply bragging or self-praise. Arrogance, contemptuous words, scorn, defiance, words that promote discord within a group or sow seeds of division, lying, partial lying, such as when telling only part of a story to make one party look bad, or neglecting to tell the part of the story that makes you look bad. That's just partial lying. Admitting fault or apologizing, but never changing. Saying such things as, "If I did anything to offend you," or, "I would never do that." Words that are flippant, disrespectful, and irreverent. Rudeness, sassiness, crudeness, vulgarities, and other coarse communication. Making light or joking about that which is perverted or immoral or just plain wrong for Christians to speak about. Silly talk. sweet-talking to get your way or gain acceptance and approval. Using words to take advantage of or cheat or swindle others. Giving your word or promising something and then not following through. Probably wondering if I'll ever get done with this list, huh? It's amazing what comes out of our mouth. And I thought I should keep the list short. So I just have one more small section. Cursing God. Speaking evil of God. Making crude or disrespectful comments about God. Making jokes about God. Finding fault with God. Complaining to God about God's actions. Speaking words that convey unbelief when you claim to believe in God. Putting on a verbal show of spirituality when in fact you have known, protected, practiced sin in your life. This is just a short list of what comes out of our heart and is revealed by our words. As God says in Proverbs 10:19, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Moving on to James chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Now, if we put the bits into horses' mouths, or are able to steer a ship with a small rudder, surely we ought to be able to handle the tongue, right? And yet, the tongue is a small part of the body, and see what it does. It can set a forest aflame with just a small spark. Well, what God is presenting here is a graphic picture convincing us of the power of the tongue. And it has power not just to influence or control people and events outside of us, but it influences and controls what we are as individuals. And again, not just the tongue by itself as if it stands alone, but the heart, because it is out of the heart that the tongue speaks. And so to control our tongue, we must control what is in us, what we put in us, what goes on in us, what we allow to dwell in us. That's where we have to put our energy. Now, to me, this is a sad reality, but it's a reality that plagues every one of us. If it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and you don't have to have a raging fire to get a fire going, do you? Just that individual spark. And in the same way, it only takes a small amount of evil in your heart, or ill will, or ungodliness, or envy, or jealousy, or greed, or whatever it may be, just a small amount down in your heart to influence you toward evil. And sooner or later, that evil will reveal itself through what you say. It makes no difference how godly or close to being pure, I say close to being pure, your heart is. Any amount of ungodliness that is allowed to reside within us can ignite a forest fire, or turn a ship in spite of the wind, or lead us to words that hurt and dishonor God. Of course, we all know it's easier to talk about a pure heart than to put in the effort and persistence and time to gain a pure heart. And yet, even if we're willing to do all of that, who of us has held on to purity of heart on a consistent basis over a long period of time. It's very easy to get just a little evil back in there. And I'm not saying that doing what is right is impossible. But the common reality is, it's improbable for too many of us. Not because God is unable or unwilling to lead us there, but because we're not sufficiently diligent in doing our part to get to that place of having a pure heart and remaining there. Let me give you percentages just so you can see my point, and you can see then why James speaks so disparagingly of the tongue. When it comes to controlling our tongue, we need a pure heart. Okay, think of that, pure heart. That's 100% pure. See, that's what purity is, 100%. Anything less than 100% will result in whatever evil is in our heart coming out. So let's say we have 95% purity. So 90, I won't call it purity, I'll call it godliness. So if we have 95% godliness of heart, does that mean we can control our tongue? No, we can control it maybe 95% of the time, but you still have that 5% which wants to let the evil out that is inside of you. And given the right circumstances or the right situation or the right people or the right moment of weakness or carelessness or whatever else, and it's going to come out. All right, I'm not trying to say this to discourage us. I just want us to see what we're up against. Because that's the reality of it. Doesn't mean we can't make serious progress. Doesn't mean we can't get to where God is leading us to be. But it does mean that whatever little bit is left alive in our heart means we still haven't got control of our tongue. We have mostly control. We have a lot of control, but we don't have control. All right, and that leads us to the next section of James. And I think that's why he provides verse 6 for us. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. You can make great progress in purifying the heart, but 100% purity and staying there? God, speaking to Jeremiah, gives us a very similar statement from this statement in James 3:6. And God says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17:9. I have never in all of my years had to fight off thoughts about American doll, about American girl dolls, or about sewing, or about cooking, or about wanting to wear a dress. It's never come to my mind. It's never entered my mind. I don't have those thoughts bombarding my mind. I don't have any desire within to even think about those kinds of things. I don't think about math. Only when the grandchildren ask for help. It's just not there. But there are things that seem to come to my mind as if my mind were the most powerful magnet in the world, and these were bits of steel, iron, metal. And they just, bam, hit the edges of my mind, and they went in. I also know that if I let the tiniest piece in, then what is inside seems to come back alive that I thought was dead and gone, but doesn't appear to be at this moment, and it is a war to put that down again. My heart isn't wicked in everything. Your heart isn't either. But there's this tendency towards wickedness in certain areas for each of us. I'm not tempted to alcohol or drugs. I'm not tempted to many things, but I am powerfully tempted to some. You see, the heart is more deceitful than all else, and its deceitfulness for you may be different than its deceitfulness for me. The things that come out of my mouth may be far different than the things that come out of your mouth that shouldn't be coming out. But the point is true for all of us. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The heart is deceitful. And we have to go after those things that plague us. You can't fix me, I can't fix you. If you fight against my temptations, it'll not help you when you're tempted, unless your temptations are the same as mine. We are at war, and someone wants to destroy us. And I would like to make this point tonight, which is in a way an aside. The battle for a pure heart ought to be our first and foremost battle in life. The battle for a pure heart, it ought to be our first and foremost battle in life. We struggle for many things. We seek many things. We devote energy and time to many things. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this ought to be at the top of our list, the battle for a pure heart. It's a battle which must be waged against our human nature, because our nature does not want to go this way. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit sets its desire against the flesh. They're at war with each other. They each want to be victorious. They each want to have their way. And this indeed is a battle of putting off the old nature and putting on the new. It's the battle of dying to self more and more. It's the battle of turning away from evil all the time, over and over again if need be. It's the battle of making no provision or giving any ground to the flesh. Don't put yourself in those places. Don't allow those thoughts to come into your mind that lead you back to sinful ways. It's the battle of not giving any ground to the world. Don't listen. Don't look. Don't long for the things that they're invested in. And it's certainly the battle of resisting the devil. It's the battle of being vigilant not to return to old patterns, old ways. It's the battle of guarding our minds so that evil thoughts can't penetrate. They may come, and you may be aware they're there, but it's the battle of stopping them and saying no to them and continuing on with God and righteousness. It's the battle of remaining faithful in hard times. It's the battle of loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And so I do want to encourage all of us, see this as the premier battle of life. Battle for a pure heart. James chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, he says this, "For every species of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Absolutely not. It can't. Can a fig tree produce olives? No, it can't. And how about a vine? Can it produce figs? No, it can't do that either. Oh, that was pleasant music. Nor can salt water produce fresh. Here's the point. If we're born again, we ought to be serious about seeking a pure heart. And in so doing, we will tame our tongue. It's out of character. It's out of character for those who have the life and nature of God dwelling within to have an impure heart. Our character ought to be a pure heart. We are out of character when we allow impurity within our heart. And therefore, we're out of character when our tongue is running to places it ought not to go. If we can tame animals, we can tame the tongue. So don't look at this as an impossible task. Formidable? Difficult? Challenging? Yes. Time-consuming? Yes. Impossible? Absolutely not. John put it this way, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him." Why? Because we will see him just as he is. And here's the last statement. And everyone who has this hope of seeing Christ as he is, this hope of being resurrected and living with Christ forever, everyone who has this hope fixed on Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. There is no reason to say that if it's not possible. And Peter put it this way, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." We have everything we need to live a godly life. God has assured that. Christ makes that real. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We aren't just being changed. We are becoming partakers of Christ's nature. This is possible. All right. We do have evil within us. Well, you might. I know I have had to war against it in my own life. And it's a challenge to get the evil out. And it's a challenge to keep it out. Especially in those areas where I have treasured evil. Let us not despair at that. But let us see this as an opportunity to go further in our faith and make progress in the Christian life, at throwing out more and more of what is in your heart and my heart, so that we can get closer and closer in this life to having that pure heart that God calls us to have, and hence having a tongue that is truly tamed. I want to urge you to listen carefully to your own words. I urge you to take seriously the fact that the words that come out of your mouth come from your heart. And I want to urge you to see that God makes it possible for us to change what we have been and become what He has called us to be. Let's pray together.